This is I'm Setting the Standard for Living a Dream, a Teen Wolf fanfic written by Scoozy Pants and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Derek Hale Styles Stilinski, with additional tags for Tumblr prompt, kittens, post canon. Author's notes. Originally a Tumblr prompt for Ms. Distress. The pack is back from college, and Scott talks Derek into fostering kittens because there is no room at the clinic. Styles keeps showing up at Derek's place to play with them and to bother Derek. There's no other reason, right? Spoiler, it's not just because of the kittens. Also, Derek ends up adopting them. Basically, Derek and cats, mutual pining, obliviousness. Bonus! Nobody in the pack is dead. Except maybe Peter. And Scott arranged it because he thought pets would be good for Derek. Cleaned up and edited from the original Tumblr prompt. Title is from the format.
You're trying to kill me, Styles says, falling into Scott as soon as he opens the door. He takes hold of Scott's arms and shakes him a little. I've wronged you somehow, and now you're trying to murder me.
Scott blinks at him.
What? This!
He lets go of Scott to tug his phone out of his pocket and waves it in Scott's face.
Look at this!
He clicks the home button with his thumb to light up the screen and practically shoves it up Scott's nose. He deserves it. Scott smiles and says, Oh.
Oh? Oh?
There are important pieces of Styles that are dying deep down inside of him, and that's all Scott has to say for himself?
I thought it would be funny, Scott says. His smile wavers. It's not?
Styles looks at the lock screen of his phone again. Derek is scowling at the camera, Hanley unbuttoned. He looks sleep-mussed and unamused, and there are two fuzzy balls of floof cradled in his arms. One is pawing at Derek's mouth, the other is asleep in the curve of his elbow. Both are stripy orange and fluffy furred with pink noses and pink beans. They are so super cute, it makes Styles' eyes water a little.
No, Scott,
Styles says slowly.
It is not.
What it is devastating. Never mind the fact that Styles immediately set the picture as his wallpaper as soon as Scott sent it to him.
Scott says, Aw, come on, man, it's good for him.
Styles flops down on Scott's couch with a sigh, because he can't deny the fact that kittens are good for practically everybody. They're like a furry balm for the soul, and they can do nothing but good for Derek's. Styles knows this. That doesn't mean he has to be happy about it.
This is terrible, Styles says. Terrible!
His sexy dreams about Derek are going to be so much weirder now. Scott slumps down next to him on the couch and nudges their arms together.
Have you even been over to see him yet?
He asks. Styles has been home on break for approximately 3 hours. No, he has not been over to see Derek yet. He's not that pathetic.
What do you think?
He says.
Scott says, I think we should pick up a pizza and go introduce you to the girls.
The girls, Styles thinks morosely.
He's probably going to love them.
And then his stupid crush on Derek will be even more tragic.
Fine, Styles says, and gets ready for his doom.
The kittens are just as adorable in person, and they follow Derek around like little ducklings or ride on his shoulders like little parrots, and Derek has a blush high on his ears like he's embarrassed.
Styles says, What are their names?
They look almost exactly the same, except one has white on the tip of her tail, and the other has three white paws.
Derek buries his head in the fridge and says, I'm just fostering them. I'm not going to keep them. Styles rolls his eyes, but doesn't bother calling him on that fib. There's a giant cat tree in front of the loft windows. It's 4 levels high and just as wide, with dangly bits and a 2-foot scratching post attached. There's a cat bed on top of the fridge, and 2 pink bowls by the sink that say princess on them. Styles scoops up the white-pawed one, scratching under her chin, and says, They need names, Derek. You're going to give them an identity crisis.
The little kitten starts purring. Styles can feel it through the fingers he has curled under her belly.
Derek grumbles something under his breath. Styles cups his hand over his ear, leans toward him, and says,
What was that?
Because he definitely didn't hear that right. Derek sighs and straightens up, 3 sodas in his hands as he turns to face Styles. He squares his shoulders, stares directly into Styles' eyes, and says, Fluffernutter and Margie.
Scott snorts from the couch, choking on a piece of pizza.
Styles says, Okay. Derek is frowning at him, brows drawn together, cheeks flushed, like he's waiting for Styles to make fun of him. Styles says, And this one is, holding up the little white-pawed one. She mews and squirms around in his hold until he puts her down on the kitchen island, and then she goes stalking after a straw wrapper.
Fluffernutter, Derek says with a resigned air.
Right, Styles says, still staring at him.
Fluffernutter, just kill him now!
Derek jerks his gaze away from Styles and slips past him into the living room, and Styles shares a commiserating look with Fluffernutter. Jesus! She skitters to the end of the island and cries after Derek leaves the room.
Come on, little princess, Styles says, picking her up again. Let's go cuddle and nurse our wounded hearts.
Margie falls asleep in the crook of Derek's neck, little face tucked into his throat, and Styles can't stop staring. Fluffernutter disappeared into the hollow between Derek's thigh and the arm of the couch. They're like furry little limpets. Styles can hear the faint sound of purring, even over the TV. Scott keeps sending him looks and waggling his eyebrows, and this is all so excruciatingly painful. He's pretty sure he's just making Derek uncomfortable. Ugh. His pining has ratcheted up past 100 now. Derek is probably sick of this shit. Finally, Styles rubs his palms on his thighs, stands up, and says,
I should get going. Dad'll want me home for dinner.
Scott eyes him like he's crazy, because he knows that his dad couldn't get out of a late shift and won't be home till 9. The lie doesn't seem to have flown over Derek's head either, if the narrow-eyed look is any indication. But he just says, Okay.
Okay,
Styles says. Scott sighs and says,
Okay, I'll give you a ride home.
In the car, Scott says, When are you going to tell him?
Tell him what?
Styles says, because he can play dumb like the best of them.
Styles.
What? Styles says. Then, at Scott's continued disappointed silence, like he doesn't already know, are you kidding me? It's impossible for Derek not to know, the way they left things before Styles' first semester. And now, Derek looks like he's seconds away from bolting whenever they're even briefly alone together. Like, Styles' mere presence makes him feel infinitely more uncomfortable than he already is with social interaction. It isn't hard to guess why. Scott gives him puppy dog eyes and a pout. Styles, he says again. But Styles waves him off and says, Drive me home, dude. And thinks about how terrible this whole month off is going to be. The next day, Derek sends Stiles a text that just says, "Come over." Stiles stares at it for 10 minutes before responding, "Why?" Derek shoots back a pic of Fluffernutter and Margie curled up together in a patch of sunlight on top of the cat tree. Stiles doesn't actually know what to make of that. Is this, like, a peace offering? What kind of invitation is that? Stiles writes back, "Okay." It's not like he's doing anything productive anyway. He has ESPN on, a plate of Hot Pockets at his elbow, and an afghan draped around his shoulders like a cape. He glances down at his t-shirt and boxers, and thinks he should probably put on some pants. It becomes a thing. A thing where Stiles hangs out at Derek's loft with Derek and the kittens, and he's not actually sure what's happening. They drink hot chocolate and eat gingerbread cookies and read or watch TV, and Stiles hesitates to call it companionable, but Derek doesn't seem like he's on edge every second of the visit, so Stiles takes it as a win. It's the magic of kittens! And the way they attack Stiles' feet or drape themselves all over Derek's head or cry out when they accidentally get stuck in the kitchen sink. Derek doesn't even blink an eye when Scott shows up with another one. He holds it in front of his face and waves its tiny paw and says, "Please!" And Derek doesn't even bother saying anything, just plucks the gray kitten out of Scott's hand and turns around. Scott grins and shoots Stiles 2 thumbs up behind Derek's back.
"Kitten therapy is the best therapy," Scott proudly tells Stiles later, when they're both sprawled over Stiles' bed, waiting for Stiles' dad to get home for dinner. Plus, you know, we're a little full right now, and Derek's good with them. Derek is great with them. You'd think cats would be wary of werewolves, but it's pretty much the exact opposite. "This is going to eventually destroy me. You realize this, right?" Stiles says. His phone beeps, and he holds it up over his head, and there, right there, the fact that Derek routinely sends him photos of Fluffernutter and Margie with their paws all over each other's faces, that's going to be the end of him. Scott just frowns and pats his arm and says, "Come on, dude. It'll be all right." Derek names the gray one Bethy. She's got round ears and a stubby tail and a snaggle tooth. And when Scott brings by a tiny black runt that has to be fed with a dropper, Stiles pretty much breaks down in the bathroom, hands over his face, dying over the visual of the extremely hot ass that is Derek Hale petting the kitten with one large finger and calling him Squeaker. "Oh, God," Scott says. "You okay, buddy?" through the thin door, and Stiles has to splash his face with cold water to keep from crying. It's just really beautiful and heartwarming. And Stiles wants to be a part of Derek's cat family so bad. How did he end up like this? Stiles rubs his face dry with his sleeve and opens the door and says, "Yeah, I'm fine." Two weeks into Stiles' winter break, Derek has 5 fur babies. Tim the Burmese, the lone adult in the mix, likes to sit regally in Stiles' lap and stare him down for pets, then bunt Stiles under the chin with his purrs. Stiles realizes he just has to stop. Stop covering himself in Derek's cats. Stop going to the loft. Stop seeing Derek at all. Nothing good can come of this. He's got 50 pictures in his phone of Derek layered in kittens and cuteness, and another 20 just of the cats alone. It's worrying.
It's massively worrying, and Styles is getting too attached to everybody. Derek is going to give them up for adoption eventually and never loves Styles the way he wants him to, and Styles is just going to keep getting hurt. So Styles hangs out at his own house and ignores his dad's pointed questions and also Derek's text messages. Like, Squeaker climbed the cat tree today, and Tim hasn't stopped staring at the door. When are you coming over? Until they stop. And also the way Scott looks at him like he's an idiot. Styles is not an idiot. Styles is practicing self-preservation. It's a new look on him, he admits that. But it had to happen at some point. There's only so many ways Styles can almost die before it sticks. He might as well start small, with his heart. Kira shows up on day 5 of his self-imposed exile and gives him a hug. A long, lingering hug you'd give a dying person. He kind of just cautiously pats her back in return. It's okay, she says into his shoulder. It is. Styles isn't exactly sure what's going on. She pulls away a little and looks into his eyes and says, Derek thinks you hate his cats, so he's thinking about giving them back to Scott. What? How could Derek think that? Styles loves his cats. He was going to buy Tim a harness before this whole avoidance debacle started. Tim and him are bros. They were going to explore the world together. It's hard, I know, Kira says, but you're going to have to tell him. He already knows! He absolutely knows about Styles' embarrassing crush on him. That's why everything was so terrible in the first place. There'd been a weird, awkward, almost kiss before Styles left for college. Styles' lips had ended up on the corner of Derek's mouth when he turned his face away at the last second. There had been staring at the ceiling and blotchy blushing, and Styles has erased it from his memory. That didn't actually happen, okay? And then Derek didn't talk to him for 3 months. And now this. It's unbelievable. Kira reels him back into the hug, extra tight, and says, at least tell him you want the cats, okay? Scott doesn't have anywhere else to place him, and I'm pretty sure Derek will cry. Styles shows up at Derek's loft with a bag full of cat treats and toys as an apology to the fur babies, and says, I think you should just adopt them all yourself. When Derek opens the door, he shoves the bag into Derek's hand and immediately scoops up Tim and drapes him over his shoulder, whispering nonsense and promises into his ears. Derek says. Okay. Styles frowns and looks over at him. Wait, what? Derek frowns too and says, do you not want me to? Because you... Kira said you were going to give them all away, Styles says. And then he spots some kind of large, hairy beast. It, honest to God, looks like a trash panda. It's covered in shadows and eyeing him from the top of the refrigerator, but there's a distinctive and suspicious black band across its eyes. What the hell is that? Derek crosses his arms over his chest defensively. Herbert... Derek, Styles says, I'm pretty sure that's a raccoon. Derek has a problem. God, Styles has a problem for thinking that's cute. Derek says, I found him in the alley out back. And of course he did. Of course! He closes his eyes in silent prayer. Then, after a long moment, he says, you're really going to keep them all? Tim is purring like a fiend, boneless in his arms. In about 5 minutes, he'll probably start acting aloof, since Styles has been missing for the better part of a week. But right now, he's basking in Styles' affection. Derek shrugs and doesn't actually answer. Squeaker is attacking his shoes, so it kind of takes away from his stone-faced stare. Derek says, do you want pizza? And Styles sighs and gives up and drops down onto the couch and says, "Yeah, I could eat." Herbert turns out to not actually be a raccoon. Just a really big-boned stray Tom with unfortunate black-and-white markings on his face, severely matted fur, and an attitude problem. He hates everyone and takes over the cat bed on the fridge exclusively and has to be fully sedated for a checkup and a bath.
Deaton shaves him almost completely bald to get the knots out, and he attacks everyone's head with claws, and by the time Styles is getting ready to leave for college again, basically no one is allowed near the fridge at all without a helmet.
"Good luck with Herbert," Styles says, shifting awkwardly on his feet by the loft door. He's got his Jeep packed. He just dropped by Derek's on his way out of town to say goodbye to the cats. Margie is perched on Derek's shoulder, her floofy tail curled around the back of his neck. She's only slightly longer than when Styles first met her. Her ears are still endearingly too big for her head. Derek says, "Thanks." The tops of his cheeks are pink, and he absently palms Margie's entire face, ears spread between his fingers. And Styles' heart starts pounding high up in his throat because, crap! Crap! He's going to do this again, isn't he? And then, before he can so much as twitch forward, Derek has his hands on his face, and his mouth on his mouth, and Styles is floored enough that it's still a little awkward. So much so that Derek hesitates and starts to pull away. Styles hastily gropes for him to say, says, "Wait, no," and clutches at the collar of Derek's shirt. He's only a little sorry when Margie merrows at being jostled, vaguely registering the thump of her jumping off Derek's shoulder. Because Derek is breathing into him, and his palms are rubbing all along Styles' back now, and Styles will learn how to live with Herbert eventually, because he's never planning on letting go. "College," Derek murmurs, pulling away. Styles blinks open his eyes in a daze and says, "What?"
"Don't you need to go?" Derek says gruffly.
But he's staring at Styles' mouth, so he doesn't let the words bother him. "Right," Styles says. There's pressure at his shin, and Styles glances down to see Tim twining all around his calves, like he doesn't want him to leave. Styles takes a deep breath and says, "I think I can wait another day." Herbert hisses from the dark abyss above the fridge, like he's plotting Styles' imminent death. But Derek's smile is so bright and wide that Styles will happily wear his old high school lacrosse helmet in the kitchen for the rest of his life. "That's good," Derek says. And Styles rolls his eyes a little and kisses him again.
The end. Reader's notes. This potfic was recorded directly off the Tumblr post initially for Somnolent Blue in the event of oral surgery. And then it was bits that were re-recorded after it was cleaned up and posted to, this fic was posted to the AO3. So there might be a little bit of an audio difference there, but probably, if I've done my job right, not enough that you'd notice. Crossing my fingers. And if you do notice, just think about Derek being adopted by all the kittens. And then you'll forget about all the audio inequalities. Because Derek, with a sweater full of kittens in adorable. He has those Henleys, right? Sometimes Henleys have pockets. Kitten in his pocket? Adorable! Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this, and have a nice day.